In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I was asked to speak about, do you guys know the topic? Okay. So I was asked to speak, it was posted? Okay, I don't know the how things are done. So I was asked to speak about inner beauty versus outer beauty. And I have to be honest with you, I have never been asked to do a topic like this, and I've never heard of doing a topic like this to a mixed crowd. Normally, this topic is done to women. And even like doing my research, a lot of the research that where people have devotions on this topic or even verses on this topic, it is directed towards women. Some of you can think of, you know, examples or verses even in the Bible, and the ones that I was going to are all specific to women. Can you think of any verses in the Bible that are directed to the outward appearance of a man? You have one? They talked about it, but it wasn't directed to like how he should look, or they described how he looked, right? But wasn't necessarily described about how he should or how a man should be. But in the Bible, there are verses that are specifically telling a woman about her hair or about her adornment and different things like that. But there's nothing specifically about how a man should look. Why is that? Abuna and I had a great discussion about this too. And why would I be asked now to speak to a mixed crowd of genders about a topic like this? And to me, the answer is actually very obvious, and it's not a wrong thing for me or anybody to be talking about this topic, and is because in society now, there's not really a difference between the focus on the outward appearance of a man and the focus of an outward appearance on a woman. And this has been for quite a while, but this is what society does, right? Society likes to flip everything. So where it used to be, you know, the importance of a woman's appearance and her how she does her hair and her clothes and all these things, society has put just as much of a focus on men and put pressure on men equally to, they've got to have, you know, the right kind of muscles, they have to have, you know, they wear a certain type of outfit, different things like that. There is equally a focus in society for both men and for both women. And men struggle with the same thing. This is many, many years ago where Abun and I were leading a convention quite a long time ago. And I will never forget that, everybody was told they could only bring a small bag. It's a weekend, so bring a small bag. It was not the women who we had issue with, but the men, I'm not even kidding, the guys were bringing two suitcases of outfits for a weekend convention, and we're looking at them like, what are you doing? What do you need? Like a few underwear, a couple, you know, shirts, some pants, maybe an extra one just in case, you know, you ruin one, maybe a shorts and t-shirts for sports, but two luggages? Like, what are you doing? Well, these guys needed an outfit for every single lecture. They wanted to wear a different outfit. And we looked at these guys saying, is this real? Like, you're really, this is a real thing? And it was a real thing. Different shoes. And this convention became a fashion show of every single session, what the outfits that were the guys, not the girls, were going to be wearing. And it was crazy to see these kinds of things. And so this is something that is totally reversed, that we never used to see before, but now we are seeing this. So this kind of a talk about inner beauty for both men and women are just equally as important. So I'm just telling you like my first thoughts when I first received this topic. I'm like, okay, well, actually, you know, and I was going through it, I said it is something that we all need to talk about and we all need to learn about. There was a time, and I think the reason why, and this is the conclusion Abuna and I came to, that the reason why there isn't verses necessarily pointed towards men about their outward appearance or their adornment or how they are to be is because men were men. And so men, this was not a concern, you know, for men, whether they had, you know, there was a thing that men, the Nazarenes, if you were a Nazarene, you grew your hair, but that was because it was a spiritual thing that they did, that they knew that this was a covenant that they made, that they wouldn't cut their hair, but it wasn't, we have a Nazarene in our amongst us, there's nothing wrong with long hair. So, but this was a thing, right? This was a thing, but there wasn't, like, men just, it didn't matter. Men did not care about these things. Also, one thing that I don't know if anybody, it's not this, you know, this generation, but Fresh Prince of Bel Air, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, okay, I was totally, I grew up on Fresh Prince. And when I was thinking about the topic, there's this one episode in Fresh Prince. I have no idea the number, but it's where Will is with this girl. They get trapped in the basement for some reason. You know the scene, and for those that don't, I'm gonna share it with you because it immediately made me think of this. So he has a date with this girl, but I don't remember why they got trapped in the basement. But they get trapped in the basement, and then while they're down there, you know, he looks at her and he's like, "Oh, you know, baby, I love your green eyes." And then he stops. He's like, "Where are your green eyes? I thought you had green eyes." And she's like, "Yeah, they're contacts. They're in my purse now." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Oh, okay, that's fine." She's like, "Is anything wrong with that?" And he's like, no, that's fine. That's fine. You have contacts. Okay." And then at one point, he touches her hair, but it comes off in his hand. And he's like, "Ah!" And he, like, throws it. And she's like, "Hey, watch it. That's real hair." And he's like, "Yeah. So why isn't it growing out of your scalp?" And then later, she asks him to open something, and she can't open it. And he's like, "Just try harder." And then she, like, snaps all her fake nails off and throws them at him, and he's like, "What else on your body can I buy from the mall? Because this is very, very strange." And it turns out, like, half of the thing, and then she takes off her eyelashes, half of, you know, what he thought she was, she wasn't, because everything was, you know, so fake. It's a funny episode. It's just like how she has to go so far to try to get her beauty. Anybody know what a dragon fruit looks like? No, beautiful. Yeah, it's pink. It's pink. It's pink and so, it's not spiky. It's so beautiful. Have you tried it? No, it's not. I planted the wrong guy in the crowd in the front row. Totally the opposite. Totally the opposite of my point. It's a beautiful, beautiful fruit. Anybody know it? Anybody? It's pink, and do you think it's ugly?
It's interesting.
Interesting. It's pink, and yeah, it doesn't look like anything that you've ever seen, but if you cut into this fruit inside, it's white with black dots, and you think, okay, that's interesting. You can expect, because of the outside of it, you expect something like super, are you getting it? Good for you. They're not spikes. They don't hurt. They're just like, okay, I'll give you that. But they're soft. Those aren't spiky and hard. But doesn't it look super cool? Like, it's bright and pink and beautiful. And the inside, I mean, it's a little bit plain. But if you take a bite, if you cut it up, there's no flavor. It has absolutely no flavor whatsoever. It's juicy, but zero flavor. If you look at a pineapple, we all know what a pineapple looks like, right? A pineapple is spiky. A pineapple actually... I feel like I'm talking to my son. Like, I have to when you touch a pineapple, it's almost like a pineapple is saying, like, "Don't touch me." You know, don't. It's very prickly on the top, and if you've ever tried to cut one, you have to be careful as you cut. It's not going to cut you or anything, but it's hard. It doesn't look. I don't think a pineapple looks that attractive. Although I know that when I see a pineapple, I'm excited. Why? Because I know what it tastes like. The inside of a pineapple is super juicy, and it's got a lot of flavor, and you like it. When I think of these two fruits, I think exactly of what I think of when I think of the difference between the outer beauty and the inner beauty. One may not be, and I'm not saying a pineapple is ugly, but it's not. If I'm going to have to choose between what's more beautiful, between a dragon fruit and a pineapple, I think the dragon fruit, because it's pink and bright and it's flashy, it is more attractive than a pineapple. But to taste one, and I actually went to go buy some dragon fruit because I wanted to actually show you and have you try it, and they didn't have it. I mean, I didn't go to TNT. Maybe they would have had it there, but they didn't have it where I went. And so, but the difference between trying a pineapple and it's sweet and refreshing, it's so good, and a dragon fruit, not. And the same thing goes with inner beauty and outer beauty. It's, and as we are taught in our society, for both of us, as I have already established, both men and women are both taught and both pushed to have this outer beauty that we focus on and that we spend a lot of our time and our attention and a lot of the things that we're taking in from, you know, Instagram. I always call Instagram Twitter, but anyway, Instagram, Facebook, all these things. What is it about? It's all about images, right? And that's what's put out. And that's what, from a young age, we are constantly thought about what we want to look like, what beauty actually is, and what we aspire to be. I wanted to be very specific and say, what are three things that I think are three things that we can actually take to say, these are three things that I want to work on to develop my inner beauty. We spend a lot of time on our outer, but we don't spend a lot of time on our inner beauty. It sounds like I'm talking about like a belly button, our outie and our innie, but we're going to, sorry. Sometimes I'm a little bit ADD in my thoughts. Anyway, so we spend a lot of times on our outer, but I want us to focus on three things that we can take away that we can develop on our inner beauty. Three things. And the first one is a servant's heart. And the person that exemplifies this in the Bible is Rebecca. So it was in Genesis, Eliezer, who is Abraham's servant, is sent out to find Isaac a wife. And he gives him instructions. They have a covenant, and he goes out in search of a good wife for Isaac. When he goes, he sits and he's very stressed because he wants to find a good woman for his servant. He's a very honorable servant. He wants to find somebody who's really good that would please Isaac and please Abraham. He sits there, and in the Bible, they share a prayer that Eliezer has. And what is his prayer? His prayer is that he finds a woman that has a good heart, a servant's heart. That's what he prays for. He didn't pray for the hottest one in the village or the one that was the wealthiest or the one that had the most esteem or the one that all the guys are running after, and that's the one he wants for Isaac because he wants the best, the one that everybody wants for Isaac. That's not what he prays for. He prays, and this is in Genesis, he prays for a woman that has a servant's heart. And he gives, he even is so specific to God, is that he prays. There's going to be all these women coming now to the well to get water. I'm going to ask them for water. But the one who goes the extra mile and also feeds my camels, that to me will be a sign that she has a heart of doing extra, really serving. And that's going to be the woman that shows me that she has a good heart. That's the one that I want for Isaac. So what happens? Exactly as his prayer says, Rebecca comes. She is beautiful. She comes and he recognizes her beauty. He asks her if for some water. She draws water. What is the next thing she does? Is she fills up more water and she eagerly feeds or gives water to his 10 camels that he had with him. And right away he saw that this was the type of woman that he wanted specifically for Isaac. He said this by showing her kindness and her goodness, this will be a woman that also will be there for Isaac and be a good woman. When you think about beauty like that, if you find somebody that has, and this is male and female, Rebecca is the example, but both male and female. If I am seeing and I'm working on my servant's heart, then I'm going to be seeing somebody who is constantly not being asked to help or not being asked to pick up or not being asked to do these things, but it's something from within them that they are looking for opportunities to help, to serve others outside, in the home, everywhere. And so that is something that is striking and that is something that is so beautiful and being applied in so many different areas. One thing I forgot to say in my introduction is, we know that outer beauty fades, right? It's not long-lasting. When let's say we're out there searching for, you know, the love of our life, we almost need to think, if you are only searching for and also only trying to be a certain, have a certain look, If there's somebody that you actually love and that's somebody that you think that you want to be with, and it's somebody that you've only looked at from the outward appearance, if that's something that's like number one on your list, what how they look, what happens if you're married and your spouse gets into a car accident? They're utterly deformed and changed. Does that mean I walk away? Because I married you to be like good eye candy on my arm, and now forget it. Think about that. Or what about if, you know, I bear three babies for you? Let's forget three. One, and I am huge, and I was, you know, looking good when we got married, and then when I had that one baby, that's it. It's done, and I am. You know, I never go back to that, you know, wonderful form that I was. Does that mean I've lost all attraction because I no longer, I'm being real here, you know, this is a truth, right? So what, am I going to lose your affection towards me? Am I going to lose any kind of attraction because, you know, it just never came back? What if I marry the hottest guy in the world? Amazing. I mean, I did, but I wish he was here so he could, like, that would have been good points for me. But what if I married, you know, the hottest guy? And not an accident. Obviously, he's not going to carry, you know, he's not going to have babies. But what if he becomes very, very ill? And let's say, you know, this is a huge issue for many people these days, but let's say hormones, like they go whacked, and he no longer becomes that, you know, gorgeous person that he once was. Does that mean that I no longer can love him, or I don't find him attractive because things have changed? Well, no. If I have only focused on that, both for myself or for the person that I love, then yeah, they're no longer attractive for me. And so many people say, well, when I'm finding somebody, I have to at least be physically attracted to them, right? But things can change. And so if your focus has always been on that, and that's the only thing that you have put your attention to, then you're not thinking towards the future. And if that's something that you focus on yourself, then how do you even love yourself when something happens and you don't have that look? If that's all that you have put your attention on in your life, then you won't be able to even bear to have any kind of self-confidence within yourself. It's something very important. So that first thing that we can work on, for that first characteristic for us, was a servant's heart. I know I went off on a tangent. It was just because I forgot to say it. A servant's heart. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. The second characteristic that I thought was important. And I say these things not because they're necessarily being so well lived out by myself, but things that I do believe that are important and things that I do believe that the Bible is also supporting. Wait, Mina, you had a question and I completely ignored you. Did you forget?
Okay.
Darn. Just kidding. She lets herself go. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. You are not getting married. I'm just telling you right now. Well, not anybody in this room. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm not going to totally make fun of you. I'll give you a second before I make fun of you. Okay. So, I think the more I think you're saying it very bluntly, but I think the key to what you're saying is, what if she doesn't care anymore about how she looks? Because, you know, what if she makes really good food and you love her food and you eat it and you become the blimp of the year because of the food that she's making? Does she then lose affection for you because her cooking is so good and you're like, I'm loving this? No. So one, you do not have the right to lose affection, no matter what body type changes, okay? Because then your love is based on her physicality, and that's it. If you want to be a good partner, you can just hold on. If you want to be a good partner, it's about supporting each other and walking that journey together. Now, does that mean that I shouldn't care at all and just kind of let everything go. Now we're comfortable, we're married, so I don't care. I can let it all go and not care. No, the Bible also doesn't tell us that, right? The Bible teaches us that this is our body is something that we should take care of. So I think that's more of the key of what you're saying, is that what if she just totally lets it all go and she does these things? If she is totally gluttonous and going after food and all these things, find out what the core issue in her heart is. It's not so much the food that's going into her body, but maybe there's a core issue. Maybe there is something in her heart that she is replacing food with. And so I think that's more of the issue. And I think as her spouse, you should then support her and walk her through that. Because there are many seasons in our life where there will be ugliness. And I'm not only talking about the physical, but about other things, which I'm going to get to. You want to say anything towards that? Not necessarily, because the example that I gave you, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that 100%, because like the three examples that I gave you was one, somebody going into it, having an accident and being deformed. Another one is an illness. And there are many, many... And having babies. No, you're not a woman. You don't get that. No. No, I don't think so. No, not necessarily. I don't think that's fair. But you are basing still then your value in your wife. I think it's very simple to say that, but I don't think so in every case. I don't think so in every case, and I don't think that's fair to always say that. That means that anybody that, all people that are overweight, then they all have an inner beauty issue. Sure. So that, let's say that person has an addiction to food. I think what's important is that you should then look at what your addictions are. Your addiction may not reflect on your body, but they may reflect in different ways. Maybe you hide your different addiction. Maybe your addiction is to laziness, watching TV or something. Do you know what I mean? There are different symptoms to different things. And that's why I said, be a supportive partner and work together to find out what the core issue is. But I don't think that makes their inner beauty ugly necessarily. It could be a struggle, or it can be something. Work together to figure that out, and also look at yourself to say, what are the things that I may be addicted to, or what may I be feeding my pain or my struggles or whatever with? Hers may be this, but what are mine? And look at that. And I think, let's move on so I can go to two and three. So first one was a servant's heart. Number two is gentleness. So how do I define gentleness? Is maintaining a gracious attitude, friendly behavior, and humble character. That is the gentleness. What's the opposite of gentleness? Is maybe a feisty character or a feisty attitude. Why are you laughing? maybe temperamental. I chose the word temperamental only because I've been called that. And I'll tell you the story surrounded by that. I think of a porcupine where you can't approach very closely because like you're gonna get prickled. You know, like you're gonna get hurt. It's like a pineapple. Like when you, I'm just kidding. So when you approach it, you're gonna get stabbed if you get close, because this is the opposite of a gentle character or in your beauty that shows that gentleness. Now I am not talking about a person who's like, hi, how are you? Good, I'm glad. That's not the gentleness that I am referring to. It's a gentleness inside, a gentleness of your character. I'll tell you why I was called temperamental. It was a priest that said this to me. I was doing something in church with some children, Sunday school, and our church was super tiny at the time, and we didn't have classrooms at all, so we used to sit in the lobby. We had a very small lobby, and we used to sit in the lobby, and we had these little tiny carpets, and we'd all sit around the carpets, and then we had Sunday school. We only had like 4 or 5 kids. So it was super, super small. The kids loved it. The kids would come running to Sunday school because we were just such a small, intimate group, and they loved it, and we'd have such a good time. And one day, like after a month or a little bit more of Sunday school, this man who doesn't come to our church walks in and says, you're no longer doing Sunday school here, you're doing it at another church. And I looked at him, I'm like, he doesn't go to this church, I don't know him. And I said, no, we're doing it here. And he said, nope, get the kids, we're moving. Now, I'm giving an example of how I was bad, okay? Just so you know, this is a bad example. This is why I was called temperamental. Anyway, so I said, no, we're not. We're doing it here. These kids are happy, and we're doing Sunday school here. No, these are orders. You are going to do your Sunday school in another place. And I just said, I'm going to be doing Sunday school right here with the kids, and I'm going to talk to Abuna. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk to Abuna. Well, I'll talk to Abuna first. You know, so then, anyways, I talked to Abuna, and I said, Abuna, I'm just warning you. I confess, I was wrong. I was very rude to this man this way. He's like, it's okay. You're temperamental. So that, I'm like, what does that mean, Abuna? What do you mean? I'm a little bit offended by it. And then he's like, it's okay. He's like, you know, Claudine, maybe we should just listen to what he had to say and whatever, not be so like overly protective and whatever. Anyway, the kids ended up having Sunday school somewhere else, and it was fine. Sunday school is still going on over in the somewhere else, and it's all good, right? But I reflected after. I'm like, when it's right, I got a little bit feisty and I got a little bit all up in his face for no reason. And so that's the kind of attitude that we're talking about not having, and that gentleness of spirit that I did not portray in this one example at this time. So what is that gentleness, and how do I get it? How do I even cultivate a gentle spirit in myself? Where do I even start? And I think we start by reflection. So at the end of the day, I can reflect and just say, not even at the end of the day, it could be midday, whatever. How did I talk when I was speaking with my friends? Friends may be easy. I'm always good with my friends. You know, I'm more gentle with my friends. Sometimes maybe I'm not. When I disagree with what they're saying or whatever, I get a little bit feisty. But what about with my parents when I disagree with them? Do I have a gentle spirit when I'm talking to them? Even worse, what about my siblings? It could just be about, like, don't come in my room. Do I have a gentle spirit when I'm saying, you know, I'd appreciate it if you didn't come into my room, or I'd appreciate, no, we don't usually talk to our siblings necessarily like that, right? So that gentle spirit, reflect on it and say, Lord, how can I have your gentleness? If I am supposed to be developing the Holy Spirit that is within me, how can I have that example of what I'm showing you when I was talking to that man, just coming right out of church, having communion, and then I'm like so quick to just snap and snap at this man. It doesn't show that gentle spirit. I can't see, you know, some of the holy people or holy examples that we can think in our life not having that gentle spirit, right? That's that gentle characteristic is one that 100% a holy person that you can think of would show that inner beauty. The second thing is, you know, how I can cultivate gentleness is simply just be nice to people. Be nice to people as though you are being nice to the Lord. And sometimes we take pride in being nasty. Sometimes we actually think, yeah, I told them, you know, and I felt good about it too. Well, no, that's not the attitude that Christ has taught us to have. That's not the beauty that we should be shining from within. We're supposed to be bearers of his light, and his light is not this, you know, dark, nasty, kind of feisty attitude. People should not be afraid to approach me because they're not sure how I'm going to snap or what's going to come out at them or what's going to fly out of my mouth because I'm approaching, you know, they are approaching me in a certain way, right? So that's that inner beauty that we're looking for, gentleness. The third thing is quietness. So what do I define as quietness? I don't know, I'm going to have some conversations from this one. Quietness is choosing to possess tranquility, respectfulness, and submissiveness as opposed to worry or rebelliousness. Now, right away, two words that may pop out are anything? Anybody else? Any words pop out? Submissiveness, thank you. Yes, submissiveness. We have a problem with that word, a lot of people. Anything else? Did you forget it? Pardon? Oh, rebelliousness. You know, that's okay. But the other word that I was thinking of was respectfulness. So respect and submit. Those are kind of two flags that come up or sometimes for people. And sometimes we only connect the word submit to women because in our wedding ceremony it says wives submit to your husband. But we forget what the male's commandment is that they are to die to themselves and allow Christ they are to die to themselves as Christ died to the church, right? And I've said to many women, like, I would prefer to submit than to die. Like, those are, although they are two submissions, in a sense, but sometimes we only hold on to that word submit for wives. But a man must die to themselves for their wife. And who is a man submitting to? What? Yeah, the Lord, right? So We're all in submission, all of us. So anyway, going back to quietness, although those two words may scare us a little bit when it comes to this quietness of spirit, maybe it doesn't. But sometimes we feel like those words are pushing us more to, we think it's like coercion or a weakness, but it's actually not. It's the opposite of that. It's a strength. It's a strength because when I choose to, let's say it's simply a conversation where we are disagreeing about something. If I have to be right and I constantly fight for, you have to listen to me and you have to accept what I am saying, that's not a quietness in spirit, right? That's not a quietness. And that's also not something that is beautiful. If you have a person that you have seen that is always, they always have to be right, they always have to win the argument, they always have to have the last word, they're constantly in a state of frustration, of arguments, and sometimes when you even look at their face itself is almost like, not distorted, but like it always has like the, you know, the eyebrows like this, and they walk around like that everywhere. It's like they look for something and they just have this, we as in me and Abuna, we refer to it as an ugliness. And when I say ugliness, we're not pointing out people, I'm talking about each other. There's a point in time where we discussed this as a couple where we just said, you know, sometimes you can be very ugly, and I don't mean that physically. But sometimes if you're just in constantly angry or constantly agitated or constantly whatever, you become ugly in your face. It's because your inner ugliness is coming out, and it's not nice. And sometimes we go through seasons in life. Maybe we're frustrated at school. Maybe we're frustrated at work. Maybe we're just frustrated in life. Like we are in a place where we're just frustrated all the time. it actually distorts us. It actually changes, because we wear that. You know the saying where you wear your heart on your sleeve? You wear it on your face, you know? So you have this lack of stillness, lack of quietness, and so that comes out, and it comes out ugly. And so, you know, Abun and I recognize that we have said to each other that, please call me out when I'm ugly. And again, I'm talking inner ugly. Call me out. Call me out when you see, like, let's say there's, you know, a week or two or something that's gone by, and I'm snappy. I'm snapping at the kids. I'm snapping at you. I'm snapping. In our relationship, we've given each other permission. And I say that as a preface, because I don't want you going around saying, yeah, you're ugly right now. I don't want you going around telling people this. This is something we've given each other permission, because I want him to make me better, and he wants me to make him better. So we will tell each other that, you know, right now, and not in a, you're in an angry way, like, you're being ugly right now, not in a way like that, but in a very loving and gentle way, saying, right now, or in this season, I've noticed that there's, like, you know, an ugliness always coming out. What's going on? Like, how can we work on this? Or how can I help you? How can I support you to figure out or to ease whatever you're going through? Because you seem like you're carrying a heavy burden that you're not getting help lifting. So what can I do for you to help with that? And so that ugliness is the opposite of that quiet tranquility that we feel. Can you guys think of, I think it's easy sometimes to think of the ugly people, or like the people where you know that their spirit is, you know, always agitated and whatever. But can you think of people in your life that have that quiet characteristic, that inner beauty that you are drawn to? Can you think of anybody? No. Yes. Well, I'm just like nod or something, like give me something. Kind of. Yeah. You don't have to give a name. I think there are people, and I hope you have people in your life that you can think of that have this, that have these characteristics. They may not have all of them. They may not have a servant's heart and a gentle, you know, like gentle beauty and quietness in their spirit. They may not have all of them, but maybe they have one, and that's something that is attractive, and it's something that that you long to gain more of. And those are all things that are coming from the Spirit of God. Those are all things that He has taught us. When you look at the fruits of His Spirit, kindness, gentleness, lovingness, these are all things that are coming from the Spirit. In John chapter 1, most people know this because we read it in the Agbaya. Anybody? In the beginning was the Word. And okay, we all know this. It refers to Jesus coming and becoming flesh, right? If we were to take that and we compare it to Exodus chapter 25, 26, and 27 is talking about the building of the tabernacle. And the building of the tabernacle, when they built the tabernacle, anybody know what it was built of? No, it wasn't built of diamonds. The opposite. It was built of skin, badger skin, actually. The outside of the tabernacle was, you know how when God gives instructions for building anything in the Old Testament, He's very specific about what to do with everything. And that's why there's three chapters that give you specifics of how to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle was built of badger skin. A lot of badgers to kill and to skin and to use as the outside shell of this tent. It was just a tent, the tabernacle. But what about the inside? The inside of the tabernacle was exquisitely beautiful, amazingly beautiful. That's in Exodus. Then Jesus comes, and in John is described as that He came and He dwelt among us. What does the word dwelt actually mean? It's translated to tabernacle. He actually tabernacled with us. He pitched his tent and he tabernacled with us. He dwelt among us. And if you compare what we know that he has told us, that we are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? The tabernacle was the first original, made the outside was made of skin. Same with Jesus, who came in the flesh, it was made of skin, as are we. Our outer shell, if you want to say, is made of skin, just like the tabernacle of Exodus. But what was the inside? This exquisitely beautiful place that was to have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, I love how there's no Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible is all one and always connected. And the Old Testament always weaves us back to the New Testament, and the New Testament back to the Old Testament. The whole Bible is always connecting and pointing towards Jesus in so many different ways, and also pointing to us on how we should be. Well, we are to be that tabernacle. He came and he became that tabernacle. He came and dwelt among us and gave us now the opportunity to be that tabernacle that holds the Holy Spirit. How can my tabernacle, if we show how, again, if I go back to the way society is bringing us up, is making us flip our tabernacle, so that our insides are full of ugly badger skins and our outside is to look extremely beautiful, or at least work at trying to make it, trying to make that beautiful. He has shown us the way. He has taught us exactly how we are supposed to build our inner heart and our inner, the place for the Spirit, and that is to have that beauty that is within. Let's not let... I always wish that we as Christians, that there would be a significant difference to look at us and to look at those that are on the outside. I used to tell people, when I go to Egypt, I know who's from Alexandria and I know who's from Cairo. I don't know why. I could just tell. Or sometimes I could say, I know who's Christian and I know who's Muslim. There's something about them. They say, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, I could tell you. You could walk down the street and I could tell you. Christian, Muslim, Alexandria, Cairo. I'm not always right. But most of the time, I could pick out somebody, and don't test me on what you are and where you're from. But I honestly used to do that. I meant Alexandrian or from Cairo, but I used to be able to do that. I really want, I wish that when people really saw us, or they knew us, that even before we had a conversation, they would know, you must be Christian. You must be, because I can see his light shining in you. I can see you have a peace that is different than everybody else. Why is it that you have cancer and you're joyful? Why is it that you are in this miserable situation and you're still smiling? Why is it that, you know, this guy just totally insulted you and you can stand there and shut your mouth? Tell him off! No, I'm not going to. Why not? It's your right. You can do it. You can whatever. No, I don't need to. I wish that we could really see that difference, because if we did, that wouldn't be about our outer appearance. It's all from the inside, that our inside literally would be, you know, outshining everything else. Have you ever seen people in life where somebody was considered like super hot, like amazing, like should be modeling, whatever, but then you got to know them and you just did not find them attractive whatsoever, because there was nothing beautiful about anything else? You know what I mean? Have you ever met or seen people like that? Like, yeah, other people would say they're super attractive, but you just can't see it because their insides are just full of ego and pride, and it's just ugly. Like how I was referring to, how Abuna and I refer to ugliness. You know, it just, their insides were on the outside, and I just don't see it attractive. And yet there are other people who I don't even see the outside. Like, it doesn't, if somebody says they're not that attractive or they are that attractive, I can't see it. I literally can't see it, because all I can see is how beautiful their insides are. It way outshines and it way outglows, because that's where they've put their time. That's where they've put their focus. I really, really wish for us that we can do the same. Let us take the time to to try. And again, I gave you three things: a servant's heart, gentleness, and quietness. Let's take those three things, walk away from today, and say, Lord, and pray and say, Lord, help me to work on these three things. Open up my eyes. You know, when I think about the retreat that we just had, and I think God has been giving me topics that are, you know, also for me to really focus on. It related to the topic that I was given about holy silence and about really taking that time. If I took that time to have that holy silence where I would be still and quiet, that the Lord would speak to me and really show me the areas in my life that I haven't taken the time to notice that are ugly. I can listen to Jesus. I want him to tell me. You know, I want to take it from him and say, I need you to tell me and point out these places. Slowly, please remove from my eyes the areas that I've blocked that I'm trying to hide and not see. I want you to point out those things to me. Mirror for me, please, so that when people see me, they don't see me. They don't care about that, but they see you. Less of me and more of him. And that's that inner beauty that we are longing for. And I really hope that we can help each other and support each other, because sometimes when we're in a community together, we can make our focus being the outside, or we can make our focus being our inner beauty. So let's work together to help support each other to say our inner beauty is way more important. And that's both for, again, like I said, going back to the beginning, both our men and both our women. It is something we all need to strive for and to look for. Glory be to God forever and ever. No problem.